Father, Lord, we love you. We give you praise. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Be thou glorified in the message of the Lord today, and let your word profit in our hearts when it's mixed with faith, and let your name be glorified in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Praise the Lord. So today, my topic is going to be step out by faith, but keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. So I'm going to keep it very simple. I planned not to speak very long. I hope the Lord helps me to keep to that. You know, just going to keep it very simple. But I know the last time I was up here, we preached on, you know, your bountiful season that's coming. We talked about the, you know, the blade, the air, and the full corn and all of that. And, you know, and I'm looking forward to those testimonies. Amen. Today we want to cover a little something that's going to help you. And I already heard some testimonies today. My daughter, Toby, she was testifying of how her own daughter stepped out by faith and how they themselves stepped out by faith. And, you know, I said, wow, that goes right with my message today. Praise the Lord. Now, we are going to be taking a text of study today from the book of Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, and we're going to read, I will just read through it very quickly, and then I've got a number of lessons that the Lord gave me. I wrote them down last night of what we're going to be looking at in this text. We will be starting at verse 22. Matthew 14 and verse 22. And if they help me in the back and just go quickly, I will read from 22. I'm going to read from 22 to about 33. So, you know, just go through the verses very quickly. So here we go. You know, the story that went before this, Jesus just finished feeding the thousands of people. There were at least 5,000 men there with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And then Jesus sent away the multitude to the other side of the ship. They took in the ships, you know, disciples in the ship, multitudes he sent away, and then he himself went out to pray. So this is where we pick up the story. Matthew 14 and verse 22. I'm going to read it quickly. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the disciples away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. See, he was still praying alone, a long time praying. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch, you know, I don't know if they count from maybe 6 p.m., you know, so maybe 7 p.m. was the first watch, I don't know when they counted from, but it will be, I mean, it's been several hours that he was praying. You know, in the fourth watch of the night, you know, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straight away Jesus spake unto them and saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." Amen. Hallelujah. And Peter answered and said, "Lord, if indeed it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Can somebody say amen? I mean, Peter actually walked on the water, you know. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Hallelujah. And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. You know, hallelujah. And they all that were in the ship, they came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Now, that's our text for today. Now, let's break it down. Or as somebody used to say that I know, let's unpack it. You know, so let's break it down and see what the Lord is telling us here. The first thing I want us to know, and this is even before we come into the main part of the message, is the prayer life of Jesus. Amen. Hello. The prayer life of Jesus. You know, Jesus just finished doing some incredible miracles. You know, even before that, you were told that he healed everybody that came to him. He did a whole bunch of healing. Then he did this miracle of multiplication of the bread, you know, the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and so forth, you know. And then after all of that, you know, Jesus retired. He sent everybody away and he retired by himself to pray and to refuel. Amen. Refuel. You know, sometimes when we are, you know, on a roll with God, we forget that we need to go back into the prayer closet. Now, this is not prayer. Jesus didn't like to just do a show of prayer. And when he really needed to get into business, he sent everybody away. And he got into business with the Lord, with God, you know. And he prayed for several hours, you know. And finally, you know, and by the time he was fully recharged, he was ready to walk upon the sea. Amen. Praise the Lord. From miracle to miracle to miracle. So that's the first lesson that we see. That he went in, after doing great works, he went back into prayer alone. Get away from the multitude, you know, get back into prayer with God, you know. And that's the secret. The next thing we want to see is the secret of his power and his dominion, right? So the first thing is we're seeing the prayer life of Jesus, teaching us an example that after great miracles, especially those of us who are in ministry, or however the Lord uses you, whenever the Lord uses you for great things and so forth, you need to get away from the multitude, go back into your closet, into prayer alone, and recharge. Amen. So, the next thing we see is the secret of his power and his dominion, which is also tied to the prayer life. We see that that was because he spent hours in prayer. You know, he went during the day, and, you know, later on the fourth watch, that's at least 4 hours, because the watch was like every hour. That's at least 4 hours into the night, whatever time they count the night from. So he had been there hours in prayer. Now, so we learn the secret of his dominion. That's the second thing. As I have about 7 points that I wrote down in this lesson today. You know, so that's about the second thing. The secret of his dominion, you know, was in that long hours of prayer and recharging before the Lord. And then when he came out of there, he was ready to walk upon the sea. Amen. Can you say amen to that? The next thing we see was when he came walking upon the sea and everybody saw him. Because nobody has ever seen anything like that. I mean, people don't just walk upon the sea. So they imagined that it was a ghost, you know, so that they saw. You know, that's got to be a spirit. They were scared. And just said, no, don't worry about it. It's me. And when they heard the voice of the master, they recognized his voice. So Peter said, this is the next thing that we notice out of this. Peter said, well, Lord, if it is truly you, bid me come. You know, I mean, he put out a request or a challenge to the Lord, whatever you want to call it and so forth. You know, now, be careful now what you ask the Lord, because he might just grant it, you know. And he said, you know, if it's you, bid me to come on the water, you know. Come on, let me come on the water just like you. Now, Peter was one guy that was always going to step out. Amen. You know, I mean, he said, look, if the Lord is on the water, and if it's truly him, if he tells me to come, I'm going out there on the water with him. And now, all the other disciples might have looked at him and said, we don't know about that one. But Peter was ready to step out. And when he said, you know, Lord, bid me come, and Jesus said, come. Now, once the Lord tells you come or go or whatever the word of the Lord comes to you, you need to act on it. Amen. Peter acted on that word. You know, and those of you that think today that, you know, Peter had no faith, I don't see any of you walking on the water. So Peter did a lot more than everybody else because he took that challenge. You know, he said, Lord, let me come, say it. And when the Lord said it, he stepped out of the boat and he stepped out on the water. And he was actually walking on the water. Hallelujah. We don't know how many steps he took. We don't know. But he did actually step out and he walked on the water. You know, so let's understand that. But here's where we pick up the lesson. So there is a lesson that we need to step out in faith when we ask the Lord something and he gives us the word. Now, God can give you the word, either the prophetic word, or he can give you a word through this written word that's already there. You know, so, but you got to step out in faith. Now, I'm going to tell us a story before I go to the next part. There is a story. I often like this story. It's in 2 Kings chapter 7. And we pick up the story from about maybe verse 3. You know, there was famine in the land and all that, and Elisha had come out and he had given an incredible prophecy that said, look, by this time tomorrow, you know, great things will happen in the land. You know, things that people cannot even imagine, you know, that, you know, how the economy was going to turn around so quickly. You know, that was his prophecy. One of the army chief of staff and so forth said, wow, you know, if the Lord would open the windows in heaven, shall this thing be? And the man of God said to him, well, you know, yeah, the Lord's going to do it. You will see it, but you won't taste of it. So you know that story. So we pick up this story, you know, in, you know, actually, let's read verse 2 of that story. Go to verse 2 and let's read, you know. So we see what he said and, you know, this is what I just quoted. Okay, now let's go to verse 3. Now, in verse 3, there were four leprous men entering in at the gate, you know. The reason that they were at the gate was those guys that had leprosy in those days, they were not allowed to enter into the city. They were actually banished to outside the city gates. So that's where they could stay, you know. So there were four of them there, and they said to one another, why sit we here until we die? Verse 4. The reason they said that, verse 4, if we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. Now, take a note of this. These are four lepers, and they are analyzing the situation. There is a great famine going on and so forth, you know, and we can't even go into the city. But even if we did go into the city, we're going to die there. Now, if we sit here still, we're still going to die here. Now, there's only one thing left for us to do. We got to step out in faith. Amen. That's right, you know. There's only one thing for us left to do. Now, therefore, come and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. We're going to step out in faith. Now, if they save us alive, we shall live. But if they kill us, then we shall die. But either way, if we stay here, we're going to die anyway. So why don't we just step out in faith? Hallelujah. Now, some people say take a risk. You know, no. You know, if it's based on an unction of the Holy Spirit, then it's actually stepping out in faith, especially when the Lord said come. Or when the Lord say go, when the Lord say go forward, when the Lord gives you some of those things and so forth, you have to step out in faith. Now, this is for everybody here today. You know, everybody has something they're thinking of doing, you know, that they are holding back on. It could even be in ministry. It could be in whatever, you know, it could be in business. It could be whatever the Lord is, you know, whatever the Lord's leading you to do and you're holding back. You need to step out in faith. Amen. So this lepers, they said, well, one thing to do, we can't go into the city, we can't stay here. Either one of those two options, we're going to die. There's one option left, the unknown. We know that if we go to the city, we will die. We know that if we stay here, we will die. But there is an unknown. There is an unknown. We don't know what's going to happen if we take this other step. Right? So they said, well, and they rose up. So they're going to step out by faith. They rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. See, and look at the beautiful thing that happened when they got there. And if you haven't read this story, or if you have read it, I want you to go back and read it again. But when they came to the othermost part of the city, of the camp of the Syrians, the camp was empty. There was no man there. Why? For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots. You know, and I like to say it this way. It was just four lepers coming, but the Lord made their footsteps sound like thunderous chariots. Amen. That's right. Because they stepped out by faith. And a noise of horses, even to the noise of a great host. And the Syrians said, oh my God, these people have hired all the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians and the kings of the this and the this. And they are coming against us. And they fled. Wow. Hallelujah. You know, and let me also tell you this. There's another, you know, side story in that one. There is no extent to which the Lord will not go that the word of the Lord might be fulfilled. Amen. This was the word that God spoke through the mouth of Elisha. And in order for that word to be fulfilled, all these other things are happening. All these other things. Because Elisha spoke that word. Now, the magnifying of the footsteps of the four lepers to become like the sound of a noise of chariots and horses and thundering of the great host and all of that was to make the word of God that Elisha spoke to happen. Because when that happened, all the Syrians fled. And when they fled, go to verse 7. When they fled, those people arose and fled in the twilight and they left their tents and their horses and their asses and their camp. I mean, God just put confusion in their minds. They thought there was a great host coming. It was only four lepers that were coming. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent. They ate. They drank. They carried away silver. They went and hid it. They came back. They ate some more. They drank. They carried away some more stuff. They went and hid it. They did it a few times. They said, then all of a sudden, it hit them in their conscience and say, we're not doing well today. Because today is a day of good tidings. Hallelujah. Why are we holding our peace? If we tarry till the morning light, maybe some bad thing will happen to us. Now let us go and give this great news to the king's household. Wow. Are you kidding me? Are you telling me that God can defeat, you know, the Syrian army by just four lepers coming towards them and God making, you know, their sound, you know, just magnifying the sound of their footsteps? I mean, can God do all these things? Yes, but he did. And he did all of this, you know, because of one thing, to fulfill the word that Elisha said. And they said to one another, you know, we don't do well. So they went to the king's household, verse 10. And when they went, can you go to verse 10? So they came and called the porter of the city and they told them and said, you know, we came to the camp. They reported the story, basically. And verse 11. Verse 11. And the king called the porters and they told it to the, you know, to the king's house within. Verse 12. And the king arose in the night and asked one of his servants, you know, he said, you know, I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. The king was still thinking it was a trap. He thought and he said, well, the Syrians know that we are hungry, so they set a trap for us. You know, they will leave the city. I mean, they leave their camps, and then when we all come, then they come down upon us and so forth. That's what he thought, you know. And then they will come out and catch us and burn us alive and so forth. Verse 13, but that's not what happened. You know, and one of his servants answered and said to the king, look, Lord, you know, he said, look, I pray you take a few horses, go check it out, you know, and, you know, let us, the multitude of the rest of us stay here, check it out. When they come back, let's see what actually happens. And they did, verse 14. And when they did, you know, they took the chariots, they went to see, and they came back, you know, when they went to tell them, go and see, and then they came back in verse 15, and so on. And when they went in unto them, the Jordan, all the way, they found that the garments and all the vessels and the Syrians who had fleeing, they scattered all their things and so forth. And there was a great, you know, the messengers came, they told the king, and there was a great stampede. there was a great stampede, because when everybody heard that it was actually true, what the lepers reported, there was a great stampede. Everybody was rushing to the spoil. And that man, that chief of army staff or whatever he was, you know, that had said, if the Lord opened the windows in heaven, shall the Lord this thing come to pass? And the man said, the man of God said, well, you should have believed the word of God. But because you didn't believe the word of God will come to pass anyway. But you will not eat out of it. Now, so that's a lesson for us today. When the Lord says his word, you know, you are doing yourself a disservice if you don't believe it. You know, because God will have a remnant. Somebody will believe it. You know, I believe it's in Hebrews 11 verse 7 or so. It says, Noah moved to building an ark to the saving of his whole family. By the which act he condemned the world. Can you put that up? Yeah, see. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which act he condemned the world. Because one person believed, everybody else was condemned. And there will always be one person that will believe. Are you going to be that one person that will believe? Amen. Now, if there's only one person in this house today that's going to believe God, who's going to be? Praise God. Hallelujah. I will be that one person that will believe God. You know, don't be like that chief of army staff that said, well, you know, yeah, maybe, but it won't happen. And God said, well, it will happen, but because you didn't believe God, you will not taste of it. So if you go back to that story, you will see that during the stampede, that chief of army staff, he stood there trying to keep the order. I mean, you guys, and meanwhile, people just trampled him down. They trampled him down. And it happened exactly as the word of the prophet. The thing happened. People made so much spoil. They were selling things for so cheap and everything like that, just like the man of God said. But this other man that didn't believe, he got nothing. They trampled him on that foot and he died right there in the gate, just like the man of God said. So there are two sides to that story. One side is that there's no extent to which God cannot go in order to bring his word to pass. Amen. The other extent is, you better believe God, because his word is going to happen. Amen. So you'll be the one that will lose out if you do not believe God. So let's go back to our story in Matthew chapter 14. I just brought that one out to show you how these four lepers stepped out by faith. You know, in their own situation, it was almost the only thing was that they didn't know was the step of faith, if you look at it on their side, was the unknown. They knew that if they stayed there, they would die. They knew that if they went to the city, they would die. So there's one unknown. The unknown. Sometimes you have to step out into the unknown. Amen. But it's only unknown to you. There's nothing unknown to God. Amen. So going back to Peter's story, Peter actually did step out into the water. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 14. You know. And now, you know, he stepped out in verse 29 when he said, if it be you, Lord, bid me to come. And the Lord said, come. And when Peter was come down, he stepped out of the boat. He stepped out in the water, you know, and the Bible says he walked on the water to go to Jesus. How many of you can say amen? He walked on the water. Now, but this is the second part of the lesson today. Remember, the title of the message is, you must step out by faith. You know, and I didn't tell you there's an underlining part to that, which I didn't tell you, but I will come to it in a minute. You know, it's stepping out into your purpose and the purpose of God for you. Now, but you must keep your eyes on Jesus. Now, as long as his eyes were on Jesus, he was walking on the water. Walk on, Peter. Walking on the water. But then, listen to what happened. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, the wind was like that all the time. Hallelujah. The wind was like that all the time. That's what the Bible says. You know, he already said it in verse 24. The ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, and the wind was contrary. It was already like that. It wasn't that it just happened. It was already like that. Even Jesus was walking in the midst of the contrary waves and everything blowing. Jesus was going. And Peter said, hey, Let me come if it's you. And he came. So the wind was already like that. But if he would have kept his eyes on Jesus, because Jesus was like, come on, Peter. Come on, you can do it. Hallelujah. You can do it, Peter. You come on now. And Peter, he walked on that water, man. He walked on the water. And then all of a sudden, like, oh, I can't walk on water. You can't walk on water. Then it's like, blah, 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 blah. You know, he started going to his lungs. And he was about to drown, you know. How do you know you can't walk on water? Jesus is right there. He telling you to come. Hallelujah. Some of you need to step out and walk on that water. Amen. You need to walk on that water. Keep your eyes on the Lord, though. Don't worry about the boisterous waves. Don't worry about the contrary waves. The contrary waves are doing their thing. You know, but Jesus is also doing his thing. Jesus is the master of the waves. Contrary or not, it makes no difference. If he wants to walk on the water, and if he tells you to come, you come. Hallelujah. You know, and then he cried out. Now, so that's the next lesson. We got through some lessons here. One lesson is keep your eyes on the Lord or you are going to get into problems. When you launch out into the deep, when you take a step of faith, and then you start in the spirit, but you go back into the flesh to try to look of how you can accomplish things on your own and remove your eyes from the Lord, you are going to start to sink. And Peter started to sink. But the next lesson that we learned is that Peter is the guy, no matter what, how he finds himself in trouble, whatever trouble, whether self-imposed or otherwise imposed or whatever, Peter always knew to cry out to the Lord. Amen. Even when Peter denied the Lord, I mean, he and Judas is about the same thing. There's no difference. One person betrayed the Lord, the other person denied the Lord. You know, but Peter knew the right thing to do. Hallelujah. Peter cried out unto the Lord. Lord, save me. Hallelujah. And immediately. See, if you cry out to the Lord, he will save you. Amen. Immediately, Jesus put out his hand and caught him. You know, as he was going, blah, 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 blah. Jesus put out his hand and caught him. And Jesus said to him, oh, thou of little faith. I always love it when the Lord says that. Jesus was never impressed with little faith. He was always disappointed. But he always used to be impressed with great faith. It's like the Syrophoenician woman that Jesus said, I can take the bread of children and leave it to the dogs and give it to dogs. And the woman said, well said, Lord, but even when the children are eating on the table, crumbs of that bread will fall on the ground. And on the floor. And the dog can pick that up. So those crumbs are good enough for me. And Jesus said, my goodness. Wow. I have not seen great faith like this. My goodness. He loved great faith. Praise God. Jesus is always excited when he sees great faith. But he doesn't like it when people don't have faith. You know. The same thing in Mark chapter 4. When Jesus said, let's go over to the other side. And as soon as they got into the boat, all kinds of hell broke loose. Winds, tempest, everything. And they were in the eye of the storm. Of course, Jesus knew that that was coming. If you don't think Jesus didn't know that was coming, then you don't know the Lord. He knew that was coming. But Jesus went to the back of the boat and fell asleep. Hallelujah. Fell asleep because he already said, let us go over to the other side. And that's the end of the story. You know, once Jesus says it, that word will sustain itself. It was not the mastery of the shipmaster or the lack of the storm that was going to get them there. It was the word that he spoke. And in spite of the storm, Jesus will go to sleep. You know, not now. The real peace that Jesus gives us is not the absence of trouble. Hello? Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Let's read verses 6 and 7 real quickly. Philippians chapter 4. You know, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Amen. And then the next verse says that, and the peace of God, You know, it's not that God is going to remove the storm. No. He may and he may not. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will make you to be able to sleep in the midst of the storm. Amen. Hallelujah. The peace of God. People say, why are you sleeping in the midst of the storm? Don't you care that we perish? The peace of God was in the heart of Jesus. Now, what God does for you in the times when you are in storm is not always to remove the storm. Jesus had no intention whatsoever of removing that storm. He was just going to sleep through the storm. He was hoping that the disciples will ride out the storm because he spoke the word. Let us go to the other side. And if you latch onto that word, just like Jesus said, come to Peter. If you latch onto that word, you can come. But you got to keep your eyes on the Lord. You know? And if they would have remembered that Jesus said, let us go. He didn't say, let us go into the sea and perish. Let us go to the other side. And that word will sustain itself. Amen. So Jesus could sleep in the midst of the storm. And this is the prayer of the New Testament believers. This is the real prayer. Let the peace of God, Lord, that is inside of me, be greater than the storms that are around me. Amen. It's not about, Lord, take away the storm. Lord, take away the storm. Lord, take away the storm. He may take away the storm, and he may not take away the storm. In fact, you know, in the lives of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Jesus did not prevent them from going into the fire. He did not. He actually let them go into the fire. Hallelujah. But in the hearts of those young guys, they said, look, our God is able. And even if he does not, we have peace in the situation. Amen. We have peace. We are not going to fret. We are not going to think of an answer. We already know our answer. We still will not bow down and worship. They had peace despite it all. And when you take that step of faith, you must have peace. The prayer that you need to pray today is that the peace of God that passes all understanding, you know, shall keep your minds when those boisterous waves are all around you. Because when you take that step of faith, as sure as I'm standing here today, all hell will break loose. It's like everything will come against you. Just because Jesus told you to go. Just because he told you, go to the other side, I'll meet you up later. Then all the winds and everything will come up against the disciples. To test them. You know, so, but when Jesus will never leave you alone, he will show up. And when Jesus shows up, he's going to show up bearing miracles and way of escape. Jesus was already coming, showing them that, look, I can walk on the water and so can you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If I can walk on the water, so can you. So come on, Peter. Come on, Peter. And I guarantee you, if any of the other disciples had said, can I come too, Lord? Can I come and play? Jesus would have said, come on, guys. Come on. You know, and God's not going to force you to step out. Amen. The other disciples did not step out. And Jesus didn't force them. And, you know, but the one that stepped out, but did not keep his eyes on the Lord. You'll notice that Jesus didn't even rebuke the other disciples that didn't step out. He didn't rebuke them. You know, but once you take that step of faith, you cannot start in the spirit and then continue in the flesh. Once you start with Jesus, you need to continue with Jesus. Once you take the step of faith based on the word of God, you need to repeat that word to yourself all the time. Hallelujah. And even if everything looks contrary, you still repeat the word of God and maintain your stand with God. Amen. So those are the lessons that we are learning today. And but if you find out, God is always merciful. If you find out that you've lost your posture of faith, then cry out unto him immediately. Amen. Peter found out that he has lost his posture. He cried out to the Lord. He didn't just drown and be drowned. You know, when he was drowning, he cried out unto the Lord. And the Lord immediately helped him. Praise the Lord. Now, you need to step out into your purpose. The purpose of God for you. Hallelujah. And I'm going to piggyback on my last message a few weeks ago on the blade, the air, and the full corn. and the blessings of God that are coming. But there is a process, which we talked about then. There is a process. It's not going to be just like that. When he's taking you through the process, when he's taking you through the storm, remember, it's through the storm. He doesn't take you into the storm. No. He takes you, can somebody say through? Can you say through? He takes you through the storm. Though I pass through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm not walking into the valley of the shadow. If you walk into the valley of the shadow of death, that's the dead end. You're not coming out. But I pass through the shadow. I pass through the valley. I already know I'm coming out on the other side. Hallelujah. And I've often said this. I said, look, by your own admission, when people ask you, say, you know, how's things going? You say, well, I'm going through some things right now. Nobody ever said, I'm going into some things right now. People always say, I'm going through something. So by your own admission, you're already saying that you are coming out on the other side. Hallelujah. Because going through means you are coming out on the other side. Amen. And you will always come out on the other side when you are with Jesus. Hallelujah. And when Jesus is in your boat, there is no sinking. When Jesus is the one that told you, come, there is no sinking. But you must keep your eyes on the... I cannot say that enough. When Jesus tells you, come, come. But you must keep your eyes on the Lord. Now, here's what I'm going to do. You know, I am going to... You've heard the word of God. I said I was going to keep it simple and not preach too long. You've heard the word of God. Now, I am going to believe God with you. Amen. That's right. There's another story in Luke chapter 5. Peter and his friends were fishing and they caught nothing. For a long time. And then when the master comes, you know, and I love that. I love to call him the master. Because he's the master of the universe. Amen. He's the master of the fish and everything. He can do anything with all those things. One time he even told Peter, you know, I think it's in maybe Matthew 15 or so. They were looking for taxes. And he said, look, you know, lest we offend them, you know, go to the sea. Pick up the very first fish that comes. Pick him up, open it, you'll find a silver coin, pay for us, you know. I mean, you know, he can do all those things. You know, he can do anything he wants. You know, and he did that. I should tell you this. There's a reason why he did that. One time I wonder, why did Jesus do that? He could have just given him, you know, maybe just created a coin. But Jesus doesn't do stuff like that. You know, he can, but he doesn't. He takes you through a process. There was a process of Peter scratching his head and saying, the first fish that comes up, I'm going to find a coin. He has to go to his house and get his fishing gear. I mean, all that whole time, devil is on his shoulder say, that's not going to happen. You're not going to find any fish, first of all. Even if you find a fish, what kind of thing is that you find a coin inside? You know. So there was a process that he had to go through. The word of the Lord was tried. Amen. The word of the Lord is always tried. Just like in the life of Joseph. Bible said the word of the Lord tried him. So that word will be tried. That's the process that God takes. And that process is so important. Perhaps sometimes even more important than the end result. We've said that many times in this church. You know, so when you step out in faith, believe God. I want you to stand to your feet. Let's believe God together. Now, there are some of you in the house or those who are listening or watching this or listening. You know, there are some things that you wanted to step out for. But fear is holding you back. Remember what Jesus said to them when they thought he was a ghost. He said, it is I, be not afraid. You know, I love that about Jesus. Anytime he comes upon the scene, when the hearts of the people are raising, he will always say, look, fear not. Or be not afraid. And it's all over the scriptures too. Even Isaiah 41 and verse 10, fear not, I am with you. I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. All over the scriptures, it tells us not fear. You know, so we need to step out by faith. Amen. So if you say this morning, Well, you know, I heard that the full corn was coming. I heard that the blade was moving into the air and the full corn was coming and so forth, you know. But I don't see anything coming. Well, you need to step out by faith. Amen. You got to step out by faith. And sometimes the Lord will say, that brook is dry. You got to move on. Amen. You know, and if I was, you know, many of us, like Elijah, would have stayed there rebuking that brook from being dry. Say, I bind you, brook, in the name of Jesus, you cannot be dry. My Lord said, the brook is dry. Move on. Hallelujah. God could have kept the brook from being dry, but he did not, because he had a greater purpose. We've preached that already. We're not going into that today. But I want you to take this step of faith. If that's you here today, I want you to take a step of faith and say, Lord, I want to step out in faith. Now, if you have already stepped out, I want you to step out into the deep. Jesus said, now, Peter was already there in Luke 5, but they were on the, you know, outskirts of the thing. And Jesus said, if you're going to launch out, you need to launch out into the deep. Amen. Amen, somebody. Now, of course, as many, remember, Romans chapter 8, verse 14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Be sure that God is leading you and step out. If that's you today, just step out. We're not going to take long. Step out and let's believe God together. Say, I have to step out. You know, fear has been holding me back, but I need to step out. Hallelujah. You must step out, but when you step out, remember, you must keep your eyes on the Lord. Don't step out and then start saying, it's too hard. You know, there's problems all around me. There will be problems all around you. In fact, those problems were there already. You know, just let the problems do their thing. Let the Lord do his thing. Amen. Praise God. And even for our young graduates and so forth, this is time for you to step out. Amen. Amen, somebody. It's time for the young graduates to step out as well. You got to take a step of faith. You know, some people call it quantum leap. Well, the quantum leap begins with a single step. Hallelujah. A journey of 1,000 miles, people say, begins with a single step. You have to take that first step and then take the next step. Hallelujah. The first step today is I am stepping out by faith. Amen. I have got the word of God. His word is my banner. Your banner is going in front of you. What am I doing this morning? What I'm doing this morning is in Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 10. We are clearing the way for you. It says, go through and go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the way. Gather out the stones. Lift up a standard. There's a standard we are lifting in for you today. And it's a banner. It's the word of God. He's saying, come. He's saying, go forward. He's saying, step out by faith. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, come close and lift your hands up. I'm not going to be laying hands, but I'm going to be praying. We're praying for this today. Some of you have already stepped out, but you need to step out even more. You know. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't want to keep you standing for a long time, but I got to say this. Ezekiel chapter 47, you can read it at home. I didn't have it in my story here, but you can stay on the water's edge, or you can go deeper. You know, Ezekiel was on the water's edge. And the angel said, no, you got to go deeper. When he went deeper, the water was down up to his knees. He said, no, you got to go deeper. When he went deeper, the water was up to his knees. He said, no, you got to go deeper. And when he went deeper still, the water was over his head. So a water that has, you have to swim. You can't even, you know, just wade through it. Hallelujah. Don't stand on the water's edge. If God is telling you, the Spirit of God is leaving you, then go all out. Amen. Go all out. Step out by faith and see what the Lord can do. Amen. Don't limit God. The reason God was angry with children of Israel was they were always limiting the Holy One of Israel. They limited him. Yeah, well, God can do that one. Maybe God can, you know, do all those things in Egypt. Maybe even he can part the Red Sea. but you can't do this little thing over here. You know, can you imagine that? The same God that did all those great things. So, okay, let us pray. You are not like those people. Amen. We are not stiff-necked people. We are not people that started out with the Lord and afterwards did not believe and then God had to destroy them. That's not us. Amen. Those things were for our examples. So now today, raise your hands and let's believe God. I want you to say in your heart by prayer and say, Lord, I thank you for your word today. Say it. I believe your word. You know, the Bible says that the word of God did not profit some people because it was not mixed with faith in their hearts. So confess your faith to the Lord today. Amen. Say, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. If there's anything else that's going to make me doubt, let me keep my eyes on your word. Hallelujah. Remember, God is a dissolver of doubts. He is a dissolver of doubts. And every doubt your doubts. Amen. Everything that is doubtful and making you double-minded and so forth, cast that away right now. I want you to take a few minutes in your prayer. If you have the prayer language, begin to speak to God. Holy Spirit, begin to pray through you and pray for you in the name of Jesus. And, you know, just pray and ask God and say, God, help me. I believe your word. I've taken your word today and I'm stepping out by faith. In the name of Jesus, I'm stepping out by faith. I'm stepping out by faith in Jesus' name. Jesus, Lord, you told me come. You told me go forward. And I'm stepping out by faith in Jesus' name. I will not be stagnant. I will not be stagnant. Somebody say that. Amen. Amen. And you know, there's, you know, somebody once said, he said, it's like the spirit of the snail. You know, it's a demonic thing. It's just crawling. That's not you. Amen. Hallelujah. I bind those things out in your life. I cast them out in Jesus' name. Procrastination. I come against the spirit of procrastination. God has already shown you what to do, but say, I will do it tomorrow. Tomorrow I will do it. When then tomorrow comes, I will do it tomorrow. When tomorrow comes again, I will do it tomorrow. It's called the spirit of procrastination. I come against it in Jesus' name. Come out of your life, sir, in Jesus' name. Let the spirit of procrastination come out of there. And you also need to reject that. Amen. And here's something else we're going to do. I want you to come into disagreement with every agreement that you have had before with the spirit of doubt and fear. Hello? I want you right now to come into disagreement with every agreement that you have had before with the spirit of fear and doubt. In Jesus' name. Disagree with those disagreements. Disannul those agreements. Get them out of your mind. And say, Lord, I choose to believe your word. Esther said, if I perish. Hello? If I perish, I perish. I am going to step out. This leper said, if we perish, we perish. But I am going to step out. And they never perished. Every time, God always honors those acts of faith. Now, Lord Jesus, honor the faith of your people here today. In the name of the Lord Jesus. We have rebuked that spirit of snail, that spirit of procrastination, that spirit that doesn't want to go anywhere. The spirit that makes people just sit down. The Bible says, a little folding of the arms, a little slumber, a little sleep, so shall thy poverty come upon you as an armed robber. You know, I reject those slumbering spirits. Cast them out of your life in Jesus' name. You know, the slumber and the slothful person say, there's a lion in the street. I can't do anything. Lion is there, you know. And, you know, Ecclesiastes says, he that regarded the clouds will not sow. And he that observed the winds will not reap. He said, it's going to rain today. I can't sow anything. The cloud is, you will not do anything. Those are demonic, those are satanic altars. And I break them down in Jesus' name. Do not look at the storms. Do not look at the wind. Do not look at the clouds. In the name of Jesus, put your eyes on Jesus. Or some people say, you can't do that. Nobody's ever done that. Have you ever read the story of trailblazers in the Bible? There's a message we preached many years ago on our website called Trailblazers. Go listen to it. You know, many people were trailblazers that nobody ever did what they did. You know, nobody ever went to heaven without dying before Enoch. He was a trailblazer. Hallelujah. There are many trailblazers. Why not be a trailblazer? If it's not you, then who else? This is the generation of the people that we praise the name of the Lord. You are the generation of the victorious people. Amen. If it's not you, then who else? Hallelujah. That is in Psalm 24. Somewhere it says, these are the generation of the people that will believe these things. Amen. Father, thank you for the grace. There's such a sweet spirit here today. In the name of Jesus. There's such a comfort here today. In the name of Jesus. You know, even when the word of God comes to rebuke us, it is still a comfort. That's how you know it's the word of God. You know, when there's that comforting feeling. And when God says, don't sit down, get up. Hallelujah. You know, don't stand still, move forward. Go forward. Why are you standing still, crying to me? Go forward. What is in your hand? Use it already. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I prophesy to you in the name of, this is a prophetic prayer now, I'm going to declare. I prophesy to every one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus. The Bible says, a little one shall become a thousand. And a small one, a great nation. That the name of the Lord might be glorified. I prophesy to you in the name of Jesus. That as you take the step of faith, Jesus is right there with you. I prophesy unto you that you will not fail. In the name of Jesus, you will not fail. And if, when you begin to fail, fail forward towards Jesus. Amen. Don't fall backward. Fail forward towards him and let him catch you. Hallelujah. He will catch you. In the name of Jesus. But the word you've heard today will sustain itself. Hallelujah. Now, let's raise up your hands and just praise the Lord. Praise him. Praise him for what you have heard. Praise him for the blessing you have heard. In the name of Jesus. Step out by faith. Even if you have a medical condition, step out by faith. Believe God and not what the doctors are saying. But when you believe all the way. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you are in business, I know last time I did this, I didn't even pray, you know, I forgot to pray for those who work for others. Even if you are working for others, be here today and believe God. God, you know, I also work for others. And I'm believing God for, you know, greater things in my life. Amen. I mean, why should I remain in the same place and everybody else get promoted? Praise God. Hallelujah. I decree an excellent spirit upon every one of you. Understanding dark sentences in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The treasures of darkness and the secret riches of hidden places. The hidden riches of secret places. Men of sabians, men of structure, let them begin to come over unto you in chains. But keep your eyes on Jesus. And when riches increase, don't set your heart upon them. Amen. I'm going to tell you something else next time I preach about how that works. But God bless and keep every one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Praise team. Come up on stage and let's do a great rally here. And as you are rallying, believe God. Don't let the devil pluck those words out of your heart. The heart that you have heard. Don't let the devil pluck it out of your heart. In Jesus' name. Amen.